أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا تالله لقد علمتم ما جئنا لنفسد في الأرض وما كنا سارقين قالوا فما جزاؤه إن كنتم كاذبين قالوا جزاؤه من وجد في رحله فهو جزاؤه كذلك نجزي الظالمين فبدأ بأوعيتهم قبل وعاء أخيه ثم استخرجها من وعاء أخيه كذلك كدنا ليوسف ما كان ليأخذ أخاه في دين الملك إلا أن يشاء الله نرفع درجات من نشاء وفوق كل ذي علم عليم قالوا إن يسرق فقد سرق أخ له من قبل فأسرها يوسف في نفسه ولم يبدها لهم قال أنتم شر مكانا والله أعلم بما تصفون قالوا يا أيها العزيز إن له أبا شيخا كبيرا فخذ أحدنا مكانه إنا نراك من المحسنين قال معاذ الله أن نأخذ إلا من وجدنا متاعنا عنده إنا إذا لم إنا إذا لظالمون When the caller had called out that the cup of the king was missing, so the address was made to these brothers. The brothers replied, you know full well that we haven't come to make mischief on earth, nor are we thieves. So they replied, فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ Then what is its penalty if you are proven to be lying? So they replied, well, the penalty of this, that in whose baggage this cup is found, then he should be taken away as a compensation for the crime. And this is how we punish the wrongdoers. فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ Then they commenced searching their baggage before they came to the baggage of his brother. Then he pulled it out from the baggage of his brother. In this manner did we plan for Yusuf. It was not possible for him to take away his brother by the law of the king except as Allah Ta'ala willed, and we elevate in degrees of excellence whomsoever we please, and over every knowledgeable person is the one that is all knowing. Now they were totally embarrassed. They couldn't expect this to happen, that they are going to be proven to be liars one day or thieves someday. So in that embarrassment of theirs, they say, إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ If he has stolen, then he had a brother who had stolen before him. So Yusuf alayhi salam concealed this in his heart, and he did not disclose anything to them. And he says to them that you are worse situated, and Allah Ta'ala knows well what claims you make. Then they pleaded, O Aziz, indeed he has an aged old father, so take one of us in his place, and we see you to be most gracious, doing well. So Yusuf alayhi salam replied, Allah Ta'ala forbid that we take anybody but the one with whom we find our property, If we do so, then indeed we are in wrong. Then when they gave up hope, they saw no hope in him giving up, they had a secret discussion, and the eldest of them said, "Don't you know that your father had taken an oath from you in the name of Allah Ta'ala, and how Allah Ta'ala, and how you people had neglected your duty, and failed in your duty towards Yusuf alayhi salam. So I will not leave the, I will not leave this land until my father permits me, or Allah Ta'ala decides for me, and he is the best to decide. So go back to your father and say to him, our father, your son has committed theft, and we did not witness of anything but that which we know. We only witness of the things that we know, and we do not guard the unseen. And inquire at the town which we were in, and in the caravan that we have come in. Indeed, we are speaking the truth." So Yaqub alayhi salam says to them, "But you have made a story for yourselves. For me, patience is best for me to observe, and it is likely that Allah Ta'ala will bring them all together. He'll bring them all back to me together, for Allah Ta'ala is all knowing and full of wisdom." So he turned away from them and he said, "Oh, how great is my grief on Yusuf alayhi salam." And his eyes had turned white out of grief, and he was suppressing his distress. They said, "Oh father, Allah, by Allah, you will not stop thinking of Yusuf alayhi salam until you reach extreme, you reach an extreme point of illness, or you die in the process." So he says, "Innama ashku bathi wa huzni. I only complain about my grief and my distress to Allah Ta'ala. And I know from Allah Ta'ala what you know not. So my children, go back and inquire about Yusuf and his brother, and don't give up in the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. For no person despairs in the soothing mercy of Allah Ta'ala except the kuffar." Points that we learn here. One is that if there is any false allegation made against someone, people are looking at him with suspicion, and there is some type of false suspicion against him, then it is important for him to clear the situation and show exactly what it is. So there are two things here. One is that you do not go and throw yourself in a situation of doubt and suspicion. Like a bar, you may be going there to buy cold drink, but people that are observing, they feel that your intentions aren't right and you are corrupt. So don't go to a place of evil, a place of corruption. But after exercising all type of precautions, yet some people have some doubts about your integrity, then it is important for you to clear it up. Rasulullah Paksasam was seated in i'tikaf, and his respected family, Safiya radiallahu anha, had come to pay him a visit. So Rasulullah was accompanying her to the entrance of the masjid when two Sahaba ikram had passed by. And when they had seen Rasulullah accompanied by his respected family, they tried to move away quickly. For it is not a form of respect that person's family is around and you discuss with him in her presence very casually. So they tried to move away hurriedly. So Rasulullah said to them, "Ala rislikuma, hold on. This is Safiya radiallahu anha." So they exclaimed, "Ya Rasulullah, of all people, we cannot have any doubts about your integrity." So Rasulullah explained to them, The shaitan runs in the system of man like blood runs. So I'm afraid the shaitan may instill some doubt in your minds about myself or about this woman. So I had to clear this up. You're going to have a doubt about my integrity, the integrity of a Nabi, then you will lose your iman. So it was important for me to clear this up, lest at some point shaitan instills and injects some type of suspicion and doubt about my reputation in your minds. Nonetheless, they were apprehended for this theft. And Yusuf alayhi salam had worked it out with his brother that this is the position, I am your true brother. When I'm your real brother, then I will request that you stay over with me rather than going back. Now the question comes up again that there was so much of grief that was brought to the father. The son was taken away, was sold as a slave. Then there was an attempted murder. Then the father lost his eyes and he was grieving in his old age. And then an additional grief that the son is held back for no valid reason. So obviously all this was by divine command. As Yusuf alayhi salam is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't act of his own. It is by divine command that Yusuf alayhi salam had done all this. The third thing is, Yusuf alayhi salam had planned the staying of Binyamin, his younger brother, with him. And he had to go through some type of a loophole, some type of a plan to keep back his brother. So we understand to work out some type of a loophole under circumstances is permissible, provided it doesn't violate the objectives of the Sharia. And if it is a loophole that has been practiced, but in the process you are violating the objectives of the Sharia, then obviously this will be haram. There are two hadiths in this respect, where Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu had exchanged dates for dates, one of greater quantity than the other, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi stopped him saying, this is riba, this is interest and usury. If you need to do so, then buy the dates with cash, and thereafter with the cash that you have earned, buy the dates again that is of a superior quality. But if you need to exchange dates for dates, then see that both are equal in quantity. When one is more than the other in quantity, then selling it in this manner will amount to interest. But if you need to, then this is how you will go about doing it, that you will buy the dates that you want, and thereafter you will sell away your dates to the person you have bought from. But this is one situation where you are showing what is to be done and how to respect the Shari standards. So this type of a hila and this type of a loophole is permissible. But if another hila and a loophole is being created just to, and it's going to amount to violate the very objectives and the ends of the Sharia, then this will be haram, forbidden. Like for example, a person wants to avoid fasting in the month of Ramadan, and then he starts off a journey in the Mubarak month of Ramadan trying to avoid fasting. So his intention is not to fast, but he started off this journey so that he had some justification in not fasting. Obviously he is defeating and violating the very ends of the Sharia. So this type of a loophole is impermissible and haram. In fact, the worst category of haram. May Allah give us tawfiq.